Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. This Canadian representation in the Smack Off is a really curious thing. And I'll tell you why that is momentarily. Program brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Next segment, Colorado Rockies manager Bud Black. Next hour, Arizona Cardinals offensive lineman Josh Jones. Quick reset for you. Chris in Toronto is the latest golden ticket recipient. It feels like he came out of nowhere. Made a really good first call. Got our attention. Backed that up with another call today. And then ripped the golden ticket. So I said at the time, this is a good thing. I don't know that we've ever had a Toronto participant. And then we checked our records and somebody named Tim in Toronto back in 01 made it. Whoever the hell that was. Now the reaction is really interesting. Because generally, America is not about Canadian representation. Generally, Canada, and I'm not going to paint anybody with a broad stroke. Not everybody on either side feels this way. But you know, a lot of you will go to the LCD. And Canada's got this perception of us. We're fat. We're gluttonous. Most of our social and economic systems are jacked. America's got its take on Canada. I'm constantly separating the two, saying that, you know, we can all be together. We can all live together. Why can't we all get along? We know this. So the reaction, I thought, has been pretty predictable and pretty curious. Like, predictable in the sense that you got to tip your hat to the guy. The guy's good. So I'm getting some of that. Ray NSA tweets, I hate to say it, Chris is good. Wells in the 360 tweets, wow. Who knew there were good callers in Canada? Chris ain't bad at all. So you're getting reluctant respect from the U.S. And you have to. He's good. Game is supposed to respect game. Now, what I was really curious about was the Canadian reaction. If I know one thing about this show, from hosting the show, it's that people around Canada have rallied against Toronto. I've seen this time and time again. No matter who we hear from, Calgary, Saskatchewan, regardless, Edmonton, for whatever reason, they hate Toronto. So let's find out. Bella B is in Calgary. She tweets, Chris in Toronto got himself a golden ticket. Appreciate the shout out.
Butthole.
And Chris in Toronto was shouting out to fellow Canadians. He wasn't cracking back on Bella or Matt. He was picking them up. So she said, I appreciate the shout out. Butthole. How about this guy? The Canadian hitman. He tweets, technically, Chris in Toronto is not a part of Team Canada because that butthole city thinks that it's the center of the universe, signed every other Canadian. Now you're starting to get a sense of how Canada feels about him being in. That's two butthole blasts.
There's two for me.
There's a third one.
There's two for me.
Tyler in Edmonton tweets, nothing will make me happier than to light Toronto on fire. Cannon, I've got a question. He tried to pick you all up. Two-part question, Canada. Is the Smack-Off better or worse with a representative from Toronto? Would you rather he be in the field or not? I mean, it improves your chances, right, that you take away the great American tradition that is the Smack-Off. You'd think that'd be a good thing. So is it a good thing that he's in, or would it be better if he's not? Which is better for you, Canada? This is not for America. I'm asking this of Canada. I'm asking this of you, Bella. I'm asking this of you, Matt. I'm asking this of you, Tyler. Would you rather he be in the field or not? And then secondarily, I got to ask the question, who do you hate more? Us or Toronto? Because I'm not sure. The way you're going in on this guy in that, quote, butthole of a city, who do you hate more, Toronto or the U.S.?
Butthole.
Because I really don't know the answer to that. 1-800-636. I want to know the answer to that. I just don't. You have your telephone number. You can also answer the question if you want on Twitter. Hit me up at Jim Rome. As long as we're on the topic, the smack-off is in 36 days. I'm going to jump this up. Normally, I don't hit this so early in the program. I want to hit the straight sports, but I've given away a golden ticket. We've already got a lot of energy. Phone lines are jammed. Let's continue our player profiles. Yesterday on the program, I kicked off our annual player profiles feature for the smack-off. Now, it's something I do every single year. I do it every single year because I want to get you up to speed on the callers that you're about to hear in 36 days. So you know what to expect, and you know what you're going to hear, and you're going to have a roster of sorts, a program of sorts. So from here on out, I'm going to showcase a participant every single day as we get closer to the main event. Yesterday, I profiled Leff in Laguna. Today, I'm going to the Midwest, and I'm going to give the treatment to the Walrus, Caleb, in Green Bay. Unlike Leff, Caleb has not won a smack-off. Not yet. Keyword yet. Because for the last 3 years, this guy's been knocking on the door. I've been putting him right next to Terrence and Sierra Madre as one of the two best callers to never rip one. So to me, it may not be a matter of if, but a matter of when. Not a question of if, but a matter of when. Maybe. Maybe. Hard to make that as long as Brad is still playing the game. Or hard to make that point as long as Brad is still playing. But that is the kind of game that this dude brings to it. And it's not like he just got good recently. This guy took a bat to the 12th man and every Seahawks honk way back in 2015 in a phone call that holds up even right now.
The smarmy, skinny jeans wearing beatniks and their girlfriends who look like they're auditioning for the inevitable Harry and the Hendersons remake. The people who chain smoke e-cigs at an Arcade Fire concert and then judge your lifestyle choices. The people who worship Chuck Palahniuk and watch Wes Anderson movies with their pants off. Jim, this is a fan base that forgot it even had a football team until the Sonics left. And now all they do is bitch about how much they miss the Sonics. Do you live in Seattle or Cleveland? And now they're going to roll out to the stadium on Sunday in their Subarus and their Fixies. They'll buy their Seahawks program so A, they can figure out which team is theirs, and B, learn the names and numbers so they can cheer when someone makes a score point or a goal basket.
It's strong. It's strong. And since that phone call, he's gotten even better. He's gone on to compete in the last five smack-offs, and he's hit the board in every single one of them, and he's made it to the podium a couple of times, including last year when he ripped a very good third. And there is such a thing as a good third. He ripped a very good third, finishing behind only Brad and Rick. Capping off his call with the very rare parody that actually worked.
Please rise and remove your cap for the singing of our national anthem.
Caleb in Green Bay, he's the man. Caleb in Green Bay's got great smack. Caleb in Green Bay says, I want to win the smack off, yeah. Caleb in Green Bay's a great, 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 great caller to the jungle.
One of the really creative things that he's pulled off in the jungle and at the smack-off. In 2018, he made a smack-off call as if it were 1995, talking about scuds and fish wraps and the fax machine and Extra Sports 690. He didn't break the theme even once. He also RSVP'd in 2017 as Buffalo Bill from the Silence of the Lambs. And Caleb is not just content to smack others around. He's got a penchant for making it artistic and nuanced. And that's a corner that he pretty much owns in the jungle. But that's not to say that he can't take a bat to others, because he can, and he has.
Vic and NyQuil. Dude has the personality of a dial tone on Percocet. Now you're like the Dallas Cowboys. There's no doubt you have the talent, but you always turn out to be just average. You won a title years ago, but nobody is buying the tradition crap anymore.
SMH. Stupid Mark in Hollywood.
Hey, Beaks, bench the donut.
Left. You can't go through life using other people's jokes and passing them as your own, okay? You might have some short-term success, but eventually everybody will figure out you're a fraud.
Yes, Mark, because you're having so much more sex than I am. The wife lets you hit it once every Boston World Series and only to procreate.
Can you imagine what would happen if one of these cadavers from the days of yore won the smack off, like Carbone or the Cablanasian? They'd go longer in between titles than Rick and Buffalo when he can't afford a used car. Now, I'm not saying that high school teachers don't get paid very well, but I am saying that to save money on laundry, Rick just showers with his clothes on. He slams one Tide Pod over his melon, another one under his armpits, and a third in his mouth for a light snack.
And I've always wondered how Adam Hawk has a worse body than me. Bro, I'm walking around with a front porch that's more like a veranda, but you're the one in the chiropractor's office every couple days. You have the voice of a 20-year-old, the hair of a 60-year-old, and the spine of a 100-year-old. We can all see that Keith Arnold looks like Chael Sonnen let himself go, but I would never say that out loud. Caleb versus everybody. I don't want sympathy. I don't want a pity party. Take your best shot, tough guys. I'll see you in my driveway.
A couple of my buddies wanted to remind you of something.
Hey, Jim Rome. It's Randy and Jason Sklar. And you know what the smack-off is? It's a walrus game.
This guy's good. This guy's smart. Really smart. A couple of years back, you offered some advice to golden ticket holders that I wish I could play on repeat for the next 36 days because it's dead the hell on.
I have some advice for the golden ticket holders. Guys, you don't have to listen to me, but I was once where you are now. I did not hoard my golden ticket. I won mine in March of 2015. The smack off was late June. You have to keep getting reps. Don't wait for your opportunity like Jeff waits for the ambulance when he hits the life alert button. The reason Jim says just because you're in doesn't mean you're on is because the most calls Jim has taken in the last decade is 17 back in my rookie year. That sounds like a lot, but if you think about it, that number shrinks quickly. The legends are getting on. Recent champions are getting on. Guys like Jeff Passan, Benny and Wisco, Mark in Boston, myself are probably getting on. How many spots does that leave you? Three, maybe? Four, if you're lucky? Work your ass off before the event. Make yourself irresistible so that Jim has to take your call.
Extremely well said. And all of that is true. And every single person with a golden ticket right now should be treating that last sound clip like gospel, because it pretty much is. In an event that has been won by only Brad and Corona and Leff and Laguna for the past 5 years, it's easy to forget about somebody like Caleb in Green Bay. But coming into Smackoff 26 with a grip of Mo and a very good look at being the 15th guy to enter the Champions Club, there are only 14 members of that club. And you heard him say it himself, Caleb versus the world. And it really wouldn't be all that shocking if he got over on the world. 36 days until we find out. I can't wait.
Can't wait.
There is another player profile. We're going to do it every single day. This guy wants to jump from the email to the phones. He's tried before. Except this time he wants to jump from the email to the phones to rip a golden ticket. That'd be the best story ever. An emailer winning the smack off. But you can't win it unless you're in it. Let's see if he gets it done here. Lincoln, Nebraska. G off. What's up, G?
G off.
Go ahead, G off. You're on the air.
Put me out of my mystery.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
I need to play that back one more time. I hate to get into this whole thing that we did yesterday with did he say hey or did he say Alan? Did Geoff just say Alvin put me out of my misery or put me out of my mystery? Can I hear that back? What's up, G?
Geoff!
Go ahead, Geoff, you're on the air.
Put me out of my mystery.
That's not a good call. No.
Like I said, put me out of my mystery. He starts off by going like Ryan Lochte, like, Geoff!
Geoff!
And then says, Alvin, put me out of my mystery. Hey, Geoff. There is no mystery, Geoff. You suck.
Put me out of my mystery.
Yeah, there is no mystery. Now you suck on both email and on the phones. Stop wasting my time, Geoff. All right, when we come back, he does not get a golden ticket. There, we've put you out of your mystery, Geoff.
Geoff!
Bud Black joins me when we return. 1-800-636-8686. Buddy Black is next, and then we are open until 11:20 Pacific time. Lots more still ahead. If you're on hold, do not hang up. If not, I've got one open phone line for you. Also, I want to recap the conversation I had with Bill Wennington, which was great. Episode 129 of the Jim Rome podcast. Stay tuned. All that's right ahead.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It is so good to be with you on this Thursday. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. And yes, I'm still in my SoCal-based studio where I've been throughout the pandemic. It's great to be here. Really appreciate the opportunity. We are joined right now by a jungle favorite. He is the manager of the Colorado Rockies. He was the 2010 National League Manager of the Year. He is entering his fourth season with the Rockies. Led Colorado to the postseason in each of his first two seasons. First time in club history that the team has been to the postseason in consecutive years. He is the most punctual person ever. We are joined right now by Bud Black. But it is so good to have you back. First off, I understand you're in San Diego these days. So how are you and your family and everybody around you doing right now, Bud?
Jim, thanks for asking. Everybody's fine. Two daughters who are back from their journeys to college and work. They're back in San Diego. They're doing fine. Young granddaughter, 14-month-old, doing well. So the immediate Black family's fine. And those also connected with us as far as brothers, sisters, all that. Everybody's fine. So thanks for asking.
That's great, Bud. So what's it like really quickly? You've got a granddaughter now. What's it like being a grandfather?
Well, a little bit different than a father, but just as cool. I know that you're going through your experiences with your young kids now. Just wait. It gets better. It's really, really good stuff.
I love it. Bud Black is joining us. All right, Bud, so let me just jump right into this now. You've got reports this week of a proposal from the owners for an 82-game season with expanded playoffs, expanded rosters, as well as a few other details. Overall, what have you made of what you've heard of that proposal?
Well, you know, I've heard bits and pieces coming in over the last couple of weeks, and I know a great deal of thought has went into these proposals from the commissioner's office, and I'm sure input from, you know, a number of owners, executives, and even probably some player input to some extent. I think overall it looks good. I still think an 82-game season adds, you know, a great deal of integrity to a championship season. I think the expanded playoff is a good thing. I think we'll add excitement and interest in four more markets. The expanded rosters are a must, especially early, especially on the pitching side and even on the position player side. So, and beyond that, I think the extensive amount of testing and safety-related issues are in place that I think everybody will feel comfortable with. So on balance, I think the big picture, broad perspective of the proposal looks very sound.
We're talking to Bud Black. Bud, you covered most of that. The one thing we have not mentioned, though, is the proposal aspect that has the DH to be used in the National League. What is your reaction to that idea?
Overall, Jim, I'm a traditionalist, especially as a National League manager. You know, our rosters aren't built with that one specific hitter in a lineup. You know, the Nelson Cruz, you know, the modern-day Nelson Cruz or David Ortiz or Edgar Martinez, where American League teams can go find that guy and assign him or develop him and have him right in the middle of our lineup. National League clubs, you know, don't build their teams that way. But with that said, you know, hopefully we can have a guy emerge and be a, you know, be a potent bat. The positive side, it gives, you know, our guys, our everyday players, a chance to get off their feet and keep them in the lineup. Arenado, Blackman, Story. You know, those guys are built to play every day, and you look at their track record of play, it's strong, they're durable, they play. So this gives them a little bit of a blow, too. So there's advantages, but again, I sort of look at it from the National League strategic side and roster building.
Rockies manager Bud Black joining us. You know, Bud, you know pitchers as well as anybody in the game. How much time do you think pitchers would need in a second spring training in order to get ready to pitch? And then how would you go about managing those pitchers once the season does get underway?
Well, I think, you know, in a you know, the best case scenario would be 3 weeks, I think, to get, you know, a pitching staff ready. And more importantly, the starters are the one you really, you got to keep an eye on. The relief pitching core, I think, will be fine. Have no problem with a shortened spring. You know, the stamina and durability of a starter is what you worry about. It's going to be tough to build those guys up to, you know, 80 to 100 pitches in 3 weeks. But with the expanded pitching staff, you know, obviously you can handle, you know, the course of, you know, 8, 9, 10 games in a row. So you got to make sure that guys don't rush it. I know, I'm sure there's pitchers across the league, both American League clubs and National League clubs, you know, they're keeping in contact with their pitchers. Guys are continuing to throw, but they're not, you know, getting game action, game intensity pitches in. So it's gonna be a little tricky at the start, but you really got to pay close attention when we get back to make sure they don't try to wrap them too soon. But you know, the pitch count is going to be an issue as we start this thing.
We are talking to Bud Block. A lot of good information in this. You know, Bud, it's been interesting to see the UFC come back with a couple of events. Obviously, it's a totally different animal than Major League Baseball, but interesting to see what those fights have looked like without any fans in the arena. How different do you think it would be to be playing meaningful games without fans in the stadium and without having that energy to feed off of?
Yeah, it's going to be weird for the guys, and I think weird for everybody. You know, I think players, you know, at the core, you know, they love competition, but they also love to entertain. I think guys at the big league level, you know, like playing in front of fans, and the bigger the better, and the louder the better. I think guys really, really dig that. So with that, it's going to be weird. It really is for the guys. There's going to have to be an extra motor in there to, you know, to keep the focus and keep the intensity. And that's something that we'll talk about, I'm sure, as a group and make sure that, you know, that doesn't affect our play. But, you know, there are players, the bigger the stage, the better. And it's going to be a little different for guys. I mean, we've all played in games that there's been rain delays where you come back every 2 or 3 hours. It's midnight and, the stadium's empty. You know, those bad weather games early in the year in certain markets, you know, not many fans show up. So, I mean, there are games that, you know, guys have played and competed in with, you know, minimal fans, but from the get-go, you know, wherever that might be, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Boston, San Francisco, I mean, our park, I mean, our fans are great. It's going to be weird, man. It's going to be weird for the guys.
Rockies manager Bud Black joining me for a few more moments. You know, but I've been talking about The Last Dance on the show, and I do so because, you know, as somebody who has worked through, and I'm of that same age group, I know that era pretty well, but to me it's so transcendent. I could talk to anybody in any sport, and they seem to have a take on this. I've got to get your thought as well, because I know you've seen it, and there is a baseball component, which we can get to in a moment. But overall, as one competitor watching another, what kind of thoughts do you have as you watch that doc?
You know, I've watched all 8, Jim. I've watched them on Sunday night. Even though I've had them taped, I've watched them as they've come on. And like you said, I mean, I lived through the Jordan era. You know, a couple things stand out to me. You know, I didn't realize at the time that it, you know, took 5-6 years for the Bulls to really break through, and how Michael came in and then it was a tough go for the Bulls. And then finally it happened for them. You know, I'd heard the legend of his work ethic, of his practice sessions, you know, his demands on his teammates. I didn't realize it was to the extent that it was. You know, that's been informative for me, and it makes sense, right? I mean, I heard it, but you know, to hear some of his teammates talk about it, I didn't realize it was to that extent. And just the physical and the emotional stamina that he had, you know, to do what he did, practice hard, play hard, you know, go play 18 holes of golf the next morning. The energy that this fella had, off the chart. And to see him, you know, take a break, as he said, he was tired. I mean, it's understandable. So, you know, I've been entertained for sure watching this. And, you know, I met him one time, just real briefly in passing. And he's a little bit bigger, you know, in person than that he comes off on TV. It's amazing.
He's a specimen, to be sure. But one last thought. You and Terry Francona go way back. I know you didn't see him play live, but when you watch Jordan as a baseball player in the documentary, coming off a 14-year layoff and going right to double-A ball, how would you evaluate him?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the thing a lot of people forget about. Usually the path is you sign a contract, whether you're out of college or out of high school, and you go into rookie ball. You go into the A-ball level where the competition's a little less. To go right into double-A like he did and knock in 50 runs, steal some bags, hit over 200 against, a lot of those staffs have big league quality pitchers, right? Guys who are on the 40-man roster, guys who are prospects. And to hang in there is pretty impressive. And I agree with a number of the guys that, talked about it. If he would have got the reps, if he would have got, 1,500 at-bats, 3 years of full minor league play, all the reps he'd get in the cage, and the defensive work. I think he would have touched the big leagues. Now I don't know how long he would have stayed, but he would have got there with his drive and his athleticism. So, that was sort of fun to watch. All right, with Tito, said Blackie, this guy, he was a player. He was a player. And I know that seeing Tito loved to golf. I know that Tito had some great stories about him and Michael on the golf course.
God, but I got to say, not get too personal about it, but you and Tito are two of my favorite guys. Always have been so great to the show. What about Terry Francona? What makes him such a great manager? Guys would do anything for him. Guys love him. What sets him apart from others doing what he does?
For me, we were teammates, and, the first time I met him, there's a feeling with Tito of just, personable, honest, and just, what you see is what you get. And I think players love that. I think he's just got a nice way about him that, and he's able to connect with all different players. And he's got tremendous feel for humanity. He's got people skills are great. And that goes a long way. And obviously in our profession, I can't say enough good things about him. He played with energy and passion. And I think he does the same thing as a manager, man. I think the players feel as though he's right there with them all the time, regardless of his age and where he is now in his career, man. He's just a connector, man. He connects with people.
I know that if I were to ask him the same question about you, he would say the exact same thing. Colorado Rockies manager, 2010 NL Manager of the Year. He's entering his fourth season with the Rockies, and they have had nothing but success since he got there. Buddy Black, my guest. Bud, I appreciate you so much and the relationship. Great to have you on. Stay safe, and I hope we see some baseball soon.
You got it, Romy. Thanks, man. I was thinking today before I made the call that, we go back to, the late 80s at the mighty 690. I know we met first time at San Diego State on the baseball field there, and I'll always remember those early days of Jim Rome, man. Congratulations on everything.
Buddy, I appreciate you. That is such a nice thing to say. Thank you so much. And we did meet way back then, and I appreciate you saying that, Bud. Thank you. It means the world to me. That is amazing.
All right, Jim. Hey, take care.
You too. Take care, Bud. Be good. Buddy Black. What a nice thing to say. He remembers. We go way back. He said 80s this time. I know Buddy said 70s once before, but he corrected. He's right. It was technically the early 90s, but come on, man, that is so long ago. And he's right, we do go way back. And when you have a legend of the game like Bud Black saying, I always will remember the early days of Jim Rome, congrats on your success. What a nice thing to say.
Thank you, man. You and I go way back to interviews at San Diego State in the late 70s. Man, I'm pumped for where you are right now. It's always great to catch up.
All right, so that was a previous interview, and Bud corrected himself. Let me tell you something. Bud Black could say, Romy, you and I go back to the 1830s, and I wouldn't correct him. I love Bud Black. Bud Black could say, we go back to the 1940s, you, me, and Ritt. And I wouldn't correct that because that would be accurate as it relates to Ritt. Buddy Black is the best. All right, so great to have him back. Great manager, too. Great baseball man. Everybody loves Bud. 1-800-636-8686. But nobody more than me. I don't play favorites. Buddy Block is one of my favorites. Terry Francona is one of my favorites. Dave Roberts is one of my favorites. Torrey Lovello is one of my favorites. You know, I got to say AJ Hinch, one of my favorites. AJ's going to have to work his way back, but a great jungle guy, good baseball man. It's really curious. There are a lot of big-time baseball managers that do really well in this program and have for a number of years. List goes on. All right, checking out. Ooh, nice. Checking out the call screen. We've got some players on hold. But open phone lines too. In other words, the lines are available. Use them. 1-800-636-8686. I want to talk more about UFC Fight Night last night. Wild, wild night in Jacksonville. I want to recap my conversation with Bill Wennington, another Canadian. All of that is still ahead, but first, here is a bar.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Buddy Block is so great. My thanks to Bud. Welcome back. Tonight, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, get connected on CBS Sports Network. We bring you big golf names and big surprises all via Zoom. CBS Sports' Amanda Balionis chats with PGA star Ricky Fowler and Luke Elvey. Tees off a talk with former top-ranked golfer Adam Scott. Look for that this evening. All right, so we've already had Jay Feely. We've had Bud Black. I've given away a golden ticket to Chris in Toronto, Canada. I'm still looking for a response to my question. Do you hate Toronto as much as you hate us in the U.S.? It sure seems like it.
Oh, Canada.
Josh Jones, Arizona Cardinal offensive lineman, coming up at 11:20 Pacific. More thoughts on UFC Fight Night last night. My recap of Bill Wennington on episode 129 of the Jim Rome podcast. The last episodes of The Last Dance are going to air this weekend. And let's go back to the phones. It is Smack Off season. The Smack Off is in 36 days. I gave away a golden ticket already. First prize gets $5,000. Right now, this person is a three-time Smack Off participant. Although it feels like more than that to me. He was a top fiver in 2016. Let's go to Boston. Hey, Adam, confirm that for me before I go to him. He's only been in three times. Our records indicate three times. Feels like he's been here more. Mark in Boston. He's already invited. Should he show up the day of? Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Jimbo, what's going on, man? Listen, I love Smack Off season. I don't know what that sound that Geoff made before he asked Alvy to put him out, but it sounded like his soul leaving his body. I mean, Drew the Jumpman Gillett feels bad for that dude right now. Listen, Jim, I heard a couple of days ago you said that there's a chance you could be putting up your own money for the Smack Off this year. I have since relocated to Tampa. We have more strip clubs per capita than anywhere in the U.S., so small bills. I want small bills, please. And I love that profile you do with Caleb. When you hear some of his clips, that guy's got so much talent, so much game. Yes, he's going to win a Smack Off one day. But also, did you know he's an accomplished poet and does the Golden Girls theme song at karaoke? So what's up, ladies? Hey, Jim, listen, I truly am rooting for Caleb. I mean, this guy needs a win badly. I mean, the best thing that's happened to this guy in, like, the last 2 years is when he got an extra nugget on his 10-piece from McDonald's. So, now, speaking of nuggets, it's called a transition clone. Look it up. Hey, Chris in Toronto, congratulations on your golden ticket. I do have some advice for you. Americans are fat, left of gimmicks, and Vic is boring. We got a couple of other Canadians that have been running with that angle for about 3 years now. And the most impactful thing they've ever done in the Smack Off is show up on Brad and Corona's cash and prizes. So you might want to hit the lab a little bit before you come in here on game day. And, hey, Albie, get ready to put me out of my misery. I haven't seen a Lincoln get blasted that bad since John Wilkes Booth in the theater. Am I right?
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Mark in Boston. He's been in three times. He's got a top five finish in 2016. He's invited. Despite getting run, he is still invited. He had some advice for Chris in Toronto. Adam Hawk has some stats involving the Canadians. Go ahead, Adam. So we've done a little research, and by we, I mean Stucknut. Stucknut knows every Canadian call ever made at the Smack Off. Run down the data for me.
Yes, via Stucknut, 25 years of the Smack Off, 8 total calls from Canada, 4 different callers making up those 8 calls, 1 top 10 finish. Matt and Van, that is pathetic. Not only do they only
Was it not only a top 10, but was it a 10th place finish?
It was a 10th place finish. It was the lowest of low for hitting the board. So they average getting into the event about once every 3 years, and they've only taken a top 10 once collectively. 8 calls, 25 years, 1 top 10.
And I was going to say, I wonder how long the Canadians have been listening and calling, but a long, long time. If we have somebody from 01, Tim in Toronto, this thing goes back. I mean, I think we've had Canadian affiliates since the 90s. If not that, then certainly the early 2000s. So they've had 1 top 10 finish in the history of the Smack Off.
In Smack Off history, 1 top 10 finish.
All right. Appreciate that. Thank you. In other words, Canada. It's like those horse races that we enter. We always say, you don't enter unless you think you can win, but that's not true. People enter horse races knowing that they can't win, but if they think they can hit the board and pay some bills. That, in effect, is Canada. You're not entering to win at this point if you have 1 top 10 finish in 25 years, or 20 years, whatever it were. You might be entering to hit the board. Like, if you finish in the top 3, that's a good thing. Of course, that's not going to get you paid. That's not going to pay any bills. First place, $5,000. Second place, nothing. Third place, even less. It's a winner-take-all event. That's the beauty of it. This is not like horse racing where the winning ride gets 60%, and then second gets 20%, and third place gets 10%, and fourth place gets 5%. That's how it works in horse racing. In the Smack Off, first place gets 100%. Second place gets nothing. Not even a set of steak knives.
Great cash, homie.
This guy's been calling this show or participating in this show for a long time. He would like a golden ticket. I'm skeptical. I don't know that he wants a golden ticket. I think what he wants to do is come on the air, get everybody to look at him, and then get run. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's in it to win it. Maybe he wants the $5,000. Let's go to SoCal. Jeff in SoCal. Jeff, what is it, dude? Like, do you really want to be in the field? Is that the play?
I got to be in it this year, my man. Hey, great call from Mark in Boston. I'm really looking forward to him carrying the Monday show like he did last year. Hey, Mark, enjoy being on hold for 3 hours come Smack Off Day. And great profile on Caleb. Jim, this guy is like Grandpa Joe in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He sits on his fat ass in bed all year long, and then as soon as you come around with a prize, he hops out of bed and makes his tired phone call. But, Jim, the reason I'm calling, am I going to have to move to Saskatchewan? Because apparently all you have to do is get through a complete phone call as a Canadian to get in the Smack Off. Matt and Tyler have set the bar that low. Jim, what's the exchange rate for a golden ticket once it crosses the border? Is it frankincense ticket now? Maybe myrrh? And just like the Eagles stockpiling quarterbacks in case one gets the COVID, I'm assuming you're stockpiling Canadians in case Matt or Tyler go, well, you know, Matt or Tyler on Smack Off Day. And Jim, if you're looking for prize sponsors for the Smack Off, I have an inside source that there's a Huntington Beach that's business that's booming right about now during this global pandemic. And Jim, the reason I'm calling, I think it's only fitting to remind the clones that I had a golden ticket last year. And unfortunately, after a distasteful call regarding Kellen Winslow, an unnamed elderly woman in the Smack Off field, and an incident that was happening, I had my ticket revoked. So seeing as it is this time of the year again, I'd like to just apologize for some of my calls. I mean, in the words of Earl Thomas, this stuff happens, bruh. And finally, Jim, I want to congratulate Hawk on his new career as an influencer. His golf clothing line looks sick. I mean, what's next, Hawk? Are you going to start putting on booty shorts and slinging fit tee on Instagram? Hawk giving fashion advice is incredible, Jim. What's next? Is Alvy going to start pimping a contraception device? Is Rick going to partner up with a clean eating meal service? It doesn't make any sense. The only person who needs Hawk's clothing line is Cal in Vegas. Jim, that pic that popped up of him on Twitter the other day is phenomenal. Besides the obvious fact that Cal would need a step stool to rip off Connor's beard, clothing line, his clothing is whack. Dude's got on a red Nike polo, a black Nike.
I can't believe you ran out of time. I'll give you my thoughts on that call on the other side. Stay tuned.